Great day, our dear sweet supporters. Guess who's back? Yes, I am here. Welcome back to the globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, still proudly sponsored by fundraisingcup.org ministries. Oh, I want to just remind you all that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion grounded in faith and honor of our Father. Those of you who are new to the podcast, please know we discuss various topics here related to supporting communities in all walks of life, as we are attracting a more diverse audience with a shared passion for growing spiritually and applying these life-learned lessons to our day-to-day experiences. So I want to encourage you all to continue to support this podcast, continue to support fundraisingcup.org ministries. You know, remember to donate, every little contribution helps. Okay, guys. So you guys already know the ground rules. You're not new to the game. And we're going to dive right into today's topic with our returning guest host, Sir Thomas Lillard, is back with us again.
Sir? Oh, my goodness. I feel like knighthood.
Yeah. You might as well get the knight, Sir Thomas, because you have been honorary promoted as you come and you bring your full authentic self every single time. And that's all I ask for.
Thank you.
Is for you to be true to who you are.
Thank
and
you.
You haven't failed us yet. So we
Thank
appreciate you.
You
coming, sharing your thoughts and your interpretations and understandings.
Right.
We're getting great feedback. So our audience seems to love you as well. So we are excited to have you back.
Thank you.
Thomas.
It's good to be here. Well, Jill, it's what I want to say is, and it's something God just placed in my heart, I'm a beacon. And I think this podcast is a beacon, that we're showing the light or shedding the light, on the darkness of this world. And we're also shedding the hope of the future for those who turn away from the worldly things and turn back to God. So that's our task and my task. So that's why I'm here. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be a part of this light that he wants shown. Amen, amen.
Amen, absolutely. Absolutely. Welcome back. So
Thank
this
you.
Week's topic is Loki, Time's Up, Trickster Spirit. And I can't wait to break this down for you guys this week. I'm really excited because I kind of saved this podcast for the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, such a time as this, boy.
Oh, man, isn't it?
So we have finally, I think it is, it's ideal that it came right after the Matrix podcast, because as you guys break through the Matrix, you guys are going to understand some of what has been broken.
Yeah,
so,
you see the other side. You see the other side of the Matrix. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. So before we even delve into that, Brother Thomas, can you read some scripture for us today? We
Certainly.
Have compiled a few scriptures. I know typically we usually grab a good chapter, but this time these scriptures we picked out specifically address our podcast today, and we want to make sure that we put you in the zone and the mindset
yes.
to receive this information
yes.
that we are about to drop on you today. So, Brother
yes.
Thomas, if you can read the compiled scriptures that we
I certainly
put
will.
Together for our audience.
Certainly will. For those of you that are wanting to follow or make a note of it, I'll repeat to you first where we're reading it from, the scripture. So the first one is Romans 13:11, and it says the following, and do this, understand time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than that when we first believed. And then in Psalms 31:15, verse 15 says, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Ooh, meaty. And then the other verse, Esther 4:14. Verse 14, silent in this time, at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. We've heard that expression before. I mean, that verse before. There's a time for a season. There's time for this. All right. So 2 Peter, verse 3, 8 through 9. But do not forget this one. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. Ooh. Man, can we see that now when we're going through this time travel? And we've gone through these. We've actually passed through. When you go through the Matrix, you'll see the difference in the time shift. And then it says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So you see, that's what I was just having the conversation with Jewel people. I was saying that God doesn't want any of us to perish. Even the evilness of this world, they're still his children. And he knows that they've been influenced by the devil and by his, his wily ways, you know, a trickster ways. Mm-hmm. How I'll put that right back to you. I'm going to know. He is the master of, the devil is the master of tricks. And he definitely puts a picture on to us that makes it seem like it's so exciting. And that, you know, we don't want to deal with the doldrums and deal with, you know, the humdrum days. He says we need to be out there and experience the world because the world is ours, you know. But that's wrong. Our focus should be towards God, and especially in this day and time, we should turn our focus back to God. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. So today we are going to shed more light and continue lifting the veil, ladies and gentlemen, on all of the tricks of the enemy. And this includes some occult humiliation rituals, illegal human experimentation happening on both adults and children, collaborative attempted murder attempts, identity theft, food and drink poisoning, which seems to be a goal for several individuals I know personally, health, financial, spiritual, and reputational attacks.
Oh, yeah.
Human and organ trafficking done on adults and children.
Yes.
And believe it or not, all of these heinous crimes are sometimes, if not many times, orchestrated by the ones close to you.
Yeah.
That caught me off guard.
Yeah. Family.
Yeah. And sometimes our very own government. With compromised law officials. Yeah.
I think I can talk on that one, can't I?
You sure can. And of course, how can we forget these dark occults, usually affiliated with all of the above, and seem to be the go-to to organize an attack strategy, if you will.
I'll say this, all orchestrated, basically. Through the Freemasons,
That's basically what I'm leading right into is that,
we pick up where the other one starts.
At the helm where, all of these different groups, individuals all seem to have, some type of allegiance, blood ties to fraternal and sororities and all kinds of groups that lead into this source that can kind of organize and orchestrate through these blood ties.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you know, they always have a consistent goal in mind, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. Sounds familiar? And somehow they seem to always gain prosperity off the backs of innocent individuals that were somehow defrauded and defamed with tricks, illusions, and mass deception.
Oh, so, most definitely the deception.
Yes, yes. And what I want to emphasize here is that these groups are operating and even conjuring, if you will, this confusion or low-key spirit. And we are calling out and binding this low-key spirit today, especially for those who experienced or is still experiencing any injustice, system manipulation, targeting, spiritual and or physically dealing with unwarranted harassment on any scale at the hands of these individuals and corrupt groups.
So, Jill, one thing I think we need to bring to their awareness, some people, and I think I probably say it too, when you say low key, some people think you're saying low, like low, L-O-W-K-E-Y. And I don't think that's what you're implying, right? It's not that.
We're going to break down low key right now for you guys. You see, these same groups we discussed, they worship deities, Satan, false gods, if you will. And our Father, the Most High God, tells us to come boldly to the throne and call out these legions by name. So let's call them out and bind them together in our authority. So who is Loki? Loki was the son of giants and and was identified as a trickster god who had the ability to change his shape and sex.
And it was spelled, what was Loki? L-O-K-I? Loki?
L-O-K-I. Loki.
Yes,
he is a shapeshifter. For those of you who don't know what a shapeshifter is, that is one that seems able to change form or identity at will.
Yes.
Brother Thomas, what comes to mind when you think of a shapeshifter?
Well, we've seen quite a few of them in our politicians. They've changed their shapes and sizes. But I would say if we're going to talk about maybe in the, I guess most people maybe went to see the Guardians of the Galaxy and they remember that there was a certain person that could shapeshift and she would change into other people. She was the actress, and I can't remember in that particular movie, but she was the actress that was in The Hunger Games, but she was able to shift into different entities, and she could, you know, go in and get into the room, per se, because she would pretend and she would look like this other person, and she could find out what they were talking about, and she could try to, you know, get what their strategy was. And I think maybe that's what you're referring to, is that this person can shapeshift, and they can change their identity, and they can change their whole demeanor. And basically, people will open up to them and give them knowledge about things that they not own. If they knew that it was not this person that they thought they were talking to, they would keep things to them. I think that's what you're referring to.
Yes.
The deception.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, Brother Thomas, my first experience in seeing a shapeshifter through media was through I think it was an HBO series called True Blood. I don't know if you ever
seen that. Oh my God, yes, True Blood. Yeah. Yes. About the vampires?
That was the first time.
The vampires?
Yes. That was the first time I was exposed to a shapeshifter of some sort where they kind of change shapes and forms and could
that
become
twisted,
an animal and so forth.
It was twisted.
It was kind of twisted. But what I took from that is that we come across these individuals that are very shifty, right?
Ah, yeah.
You know,
Shifty Schiff, everybody know him in your Congress, Congressman Shifty Schiff. I think Trump has referred to him as that. Because he is shifty. You know.
Oh my goodness.
Where he's coming from. And he's always got this funky little grin on him. And you could think of him being as that. You know, another one that was kind of that way, Jewel, I believe, was in Harry Potter. There was one, you know, that basically you didn't exactly know where they stood. You know, they got this evil little grin, you know.
Yes.
You know, again, you can thank Gremlins when we went to see that movie. You know, there was the evil, you know, the one that kind of like, or in the vampire. Okay, in the movie with the vampire, you always had, you know, his helper, who was basically the one, the snivelly one in the side, who basically, he couldn't be a full vampire, but he would eat the bugs, you know, to get the blood. It was gross. But he did that, but he had this sniveling to him. Yes, Master, I'll be glad to help, Master. You know, that one.
Yes, I recall him. I can't think of his name, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
I mean, he did everything he could to please the Master, you know. That's just what he was.
And that's the thing. Brother Thomas, this spirit that's being released onto our society is creating people, is creating within people an unstable mind. And what I mean by that is, I can talk to someone today and they're like, "Oh, it's such a pleasure to meet you. You're such a sweetheart. You're so kind." And before I even take four steps to get to my front door, they're plotting and planning on something else because they are shapeshifters. Pure deception. And I know we talked about Academy Award winners last week, but it all aligns with this whole kind of shape-shifting, not authentic, not true to the game of who they are.
Yeah.
And so
they have ulterior motives.
That's
the people you've got to be aware of, the ones that have ulterior motives.
Yes, that whole, you know, throw a rock, hide your hand kind of mischievous game playing. I'll go over there and get the information from them. And then
you can trust me. Don't you love that expression, Jewel?
Yes.
You can trust me. You know, I won't deceive you. I won't hurt you. I won't see that anything. I won't let any harm come to you. Right. And what they were really saying to you is, you know, I get you under my, you know, spell, and you are totally, totally, you know, in engulfed in the belief that I painted this picture for you, and you will do anything because you trust me, don't you? You trust me?
Yes. And you know, I want to emphasize, Brother Thomas, because you and I have in common that, you know, we both enjoyed psychology and sociology and college, and we always talk about our experiences and exchanges on what we learned in those courses and how we applied it to dealing with people today. And I want to make it clear that when we talk about shapeshifters, we're not talking about masking, right?
Mm-mm.
Because masking is where individuals may have to put on a certain kind of persona for certain social situations, right?
Well, it's a facade. Basically, a mask is a facade. And then maybe people don't understand what I'm saying. And no, a facade is basically, it looks like, it appears like, but it's not real. A facade.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, when they're masking, they can mask their feelings, that type of thing.
Yeah.
This is not.
This is not the same thing. And I want to emphasize that because this is far more cunning and calculating than simply, you know, kind of dressing up your voice for an interview. This is a whole
character shift. I think even it goes a little deeper with Loki as he even changed gender. So I think there's some kind of homosexual reference in how he can just shift entirely who he is, what he is. You talk to him today, you have no idea what you're facing tomorrow, kind of.
Right.
He was known as the god of mischief and trickery and deception. And so, you know, Loki, he really interrupted a lot of social norms and expectations, right? And what we might call the laws of nature or universal law. This spirit of Loki is often portrayed as an evil soul, scheming coward who cares only for shallow pleasures and self-preservation.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jill.
I know.
Well, you know, I'm thinking of something about a trickster. And maybe people remember that in most any kingdom, they had the individual that basically, you know, at the parties and things that the king would have, there would be this trickster, this person that, and I can't say, I'm coming up short with the name right now, but he's the one that basically was like a clown. He would like introduce the guests that were going to be there or the special entertainment. And I'm trying to think of what they referred to him as. But anyway, he was the one that basically got people's attention by his joking manner. That he would, you know.
Is it the jester?
Yes, the court jester. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so much. So this is where we got. This is what Loki is, in my opinion. Loki is a court jester. He has a certain, a certain task, a certain job to do. And he is a trickster, but he's supposed to deceive you, and he can do it in many different ways. Yes, but he ultimately is that court jester. He does it in a cunning way, in a conniving way, and he basically wins you over. And in other words, what you did is whenever the get ready to put the people on the stage, he basically was the one to get everybody's attention. You know, like the. When you have, you go to a concert, you have the opening act, and they're not the ones, they're not kind of like there to warm up the crowd, you know what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
And because the real performance is coming, people, but you got to warm up the crowd. You got to get them energized and ready for, what's going to happen. Because you don't want the star of the show to come into a cold audience. And so this is where Loki comes in. He doesn't, the devil, he don't want a cold audience. He wants them warm, them ready, eager type of thing.
It's so funny you say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we discussed how Loki has this, he comes lukewarm, which is what God said he doesn't want, right? Because he fools around, and one minute he can definitely say, oh, I'm Christian, I love God, and da-da-da.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, he's out doing evil, just instigating and stirring the pot and creating more problems than need be. Because he sat and he thought, well, you know what? I want to gain this, and I know if I can set this person to hate that person and to do this and to do that, then I can get what I want.
Yeah.
That's the kind of low-key, manipulating, confusing spirit that we're talking about that has been unleashed and create illusions in people.
Well, you got to understand, too. You got to understand that Loki, he has a job to do, and basically with the devil, the devil wants this person to step forward, and he gives him power. It says in the Bible in Revelations, it says, that even the Antichrist, he will get his power from the dragon. Again, this is what is happening in our day society today. We're seeing this, the devil is running rampant. And he really is. Oh my God. We've seen it in just so many different variations of it. I mean, say for instance, I'll go back referencing the Olympics. Was that not the worst that you've ever seen? The Olympics and how they basically just flaunted it right there out in front of everybody. I mean, there is no need for hiding in the shadows anymore, Jewel. And I really think that's where we are this day. The devil feels so confident in the work of Loki that he feels like he doesn't have to hide anymore.
No, no, because people are openly taking their positions. They're walking over and saying, I want to be part of the occult and not worship God. They're just walking over there freely and openly. And
selling their souls. They don't care. They don't care about selling their souls anymore, Jewel. They don't care about selling their souls anymore. They're ready, willing, and able to do whatever needs to be done. Because this Satan worship is all about that. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned child trafficking. I don't know if y'all paid attention to the last night, the opening thing of the Democratic Convention, but do you know who they had up there talking about child trafficking? If that was an irony, good old Hillary. She was up there talking about child trafficking like she's so much dedicated to it. I would think they could have had Oprah up there and do the same thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, because they're both guilty of it, you know? Because they're Satan worshipers, and they are basically have sold their souls because they know that the ultimate goal is to get that power. And now the thing of it is with the child trafficking is basically they want to have that elixir. They want to have that belief that, you know, if they do these sacrifices to these like the adrenochrome, whatever, that's going to give them the key to life, that they'll never grow old, that they will always exist. And again, that's deception, because the devil has convinced them that task and everything to it be an honor to the devil. But in essence, you know, it's just like, it's really it's a falsehood, and they can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad that they can't see it, but they get so enthralled in it and they're so engulfed with it that it's like, you know, when they get the taste of that, they can't get away from it. They have to have more and more and more and more.
You know, it's really sick, this idea that you would harm children. And I'm going to speak more about harm that's being done to children a little bit later. But I do want to address, As we're talking about this low key spirit, something you said really caught my attention, and I think you hit the nail right on its head.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these evil groups are involved in some of the most detestable and heinous crimes known to humanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
if they were in their right minds, they would never do it.
No, and they don't come right out and tell potential co-theorists what exactly they're into, right? Because they need to operate in a low key spirit to get people on board. If they can't
tell people what their
agenda is holistically, then people could make an informed decision and says, I don't want to be part of that kind of evil, criminal conduct.
Right. That's what happened for Freemasonry. You know, people think that the Freemasons, you know, and there are some good Freemasons, I will say that. But when you get to that certain stage, when you come to a 33rd Mason, you've stepped over the edge. You've gone past the point of no return. And that's when they got you. You've signed on the dotted line and you owe all your allegiance to that cult. In fact, I could reference the Skull and Bones. You know, there was an interview that they showed. A reporter was interviewing not only Jim Carrey, and I don't mean the actor. I'm talking about Senator Carrey. Maybe his name wasn't Jim. Is his name not Jim? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Jim.
Him. And then he also interviewed George Bush, and he says, you both were in Skull and Bones, and he says, can you tell me about it? He says, I'm not able to say that. I'm not able to tell you about it. And that's the allegiance. You know, what goes on behind those closed doors, no one will ever speak of. And so that's that allegiance to satanic. It's like the Bohemian Grove, where again they show this allegiance to the owl, and the owl is representative of the devil, and they do this satanic worship, and they basically, you know, that sets out their, they actually do that at the first of the of that particular camp, if you want to say, they do this sacrifice. Many people have said it's an effigy, but they don't know. I think in reality, it is a human sacrifice that they do burn and alive, which you think that's horrific. But they're so caught up into the occult, Jewel, and the God. I think that a godly man wouldn't allow it to happen, but when they're in this spirit, and it's a Loki spirit with them, that basically they are not in their right minds, because people can enter into a group setting. And I really think, and the Satan will do this, and I think basically he just takes over their minds. And they're so excited. Alex Jones did a filming about it, actually was able to get into it. And he says, you people don't realize what these people are up to and what they're capable of until you get across their threshold and you can see it. And he says, it is a, to realize that these people who seem like they're, so, and that's a shapeshifter. So they seem so honorable. They seem so, you know, we are all about our government. We are all about the people. When it's not, the deception is already put in place and it is already there, because they've already been cultivated, they've already been tarnished, and they've already been, their soul is blackened, and that's it. When you've got a blackened soul, you can't see the light. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. In other words, I've also heard that those that basically have been in that realm and they have shown their allegiance to you know, Satan, Jewel, they can't look at themselves in the mirror, because when they do, then that's inside them, and they can't face it. They can't face it. They don't want to face it, because they say, you know, and that's the true thing. The mirror is the window to the soul.
Yeah, well,
when you look at the mirror,
it's a portal. It's a lot going on there with the mirror. If we could dive into that, but that would take us to a whole nother topic.
We could talk about mirror on the wall. We could reference that.
Yes.
We certainly could. But in this case, Loki is basically, you know, he is a trickster, and so. I think what you're going to allude to is we don't want to be tricked. We don't want to fall into the trap. And what can we do to keep from that? And when you come out of the matrix, you know, that's the thing. When they see that you've escaped out of the matrix, they want to pull you back in.
Absolutely. And they will target you.
Because you're
not doing what they want. They want you to come back in and to basically be a tortured soul in that matrix and not awaken others to these tricksters and the psychological game that traumatize individuals and bring an awareness to what's happening. They definitely don't like that. And, you know, what they do in turn to those of us that speak up, bring awareness, as I mentioned, what they'll try to do, I should say, is they try to bring mental and emotional instability and sometimes financial by bullying and using fear tactics.
Well, Jewel, you know what it really is? It's the frequency. In other words, they operate under a lower frequency. And that would be, I guess you could do an analogy. Low key is really low key. Lowkey.
Yes.
Low key. Yeah, a little play on words there.
Yeah.
But because they do operate under a lower frequency, and they want to get you down in that devil key. You know, they want to get you down in the dirt. They want to bring all this muck on.
Yeah. You know, and I hate to cut you off, Brother Thomas, but because in order for a lot of their witchcraft or sorcery or magic, as they like to market to our children, work, they need you to be in a low frequency. They need you to argue with them.
Yes.
They need you to give that negative energy so that there's an opening point for it to be weaponized against you and you come down into their frequency.
Yeah.
You see, you have to keep yourself above it.
Yeah.
And not get sucked into it.
Yeah.
And part of the self-mastery that we talked about last week in getting out of the matrix.
We need to be on that higher plane, and that's not always possible because, again, the things of this world keep us from that or try to pull us down off that plane. And when we get to these days of frustration, and we're in those days now, and tribulation and trials. Jewel, do you feel like you're on trial? Do you feel like that?
Yeah, I definitely know that there's a spiritual trial happening. I don't know what's going on the surface realm. It seems like, you know, it's lawlessness down here and they're running amok. But definitely feel like justice is being called as above. And eventually it should hit this earthly realm, but I'm not really seeing much
well,
of it.
Well, I think when people actually get to that other plane, and I do mean on the other side of the matrix, you start to use discernment. You start to think of things in a different way. Your mind goes in a different direction, you know? And then you can see the evilness for what it is.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We see the delight, you know? Mm-hmm.
You're so right, Brother Thomas, because it's not until you step out of it you can fully see the false narrative, the rumors and the slander and the discrediting of individuals that these people are using to gain prosperity.
Right. And that's where you were alluding to at the very first, you know, said it can be people that are right there beside you. A good friend or it could be a neighbor or it could be even a family member that have,
But Brother Thomas, that's the biggest illusion, because you can wake up one day and feel this immense attack from the people around you. Somebody you may not even know, right? You may just start to get targeted. Your gang stalks, your wrath, and you're like, wait, hold on. What just happened? Like, I just took one step out of the matrix and the world's gone mad. But the truth is, you were probably set up by someone in your family for them to do this to you.
Which is sad.
And it is sad. You know, I'm smiling because of the fact that we can
see it now. You're looking in. You're looking inside. You're not on the outside.
You're outside looking in.
Right. Whereas before you were inside trying to look out, and there was no future. You know, you didn't realize it.
You're in this state of frenzy, and you're like, what's going on? Who's shaking the globe? Why is this coming to mess? Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you couldn't put the nail on the head. You could not figure it out.
You're like, I don't know these people. I didn't bother these people. All of a sudden, the world's gone mad, and it doesn't make sense. Yeah. And the same people, this is what's really diabolical about it, right? Because the same people you ultimately turn to for advice, protection, and you're like, you know, really opening up to them, saying, I don't know what's going on with these other people.
Yeah.
They're the ones. They're the ones that were at the helm of the confusion.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, Jill,
I think
everybody's heard this song before, but did y'all remember Adam Lambert? from American Idol.
Yes.
When he sang that song, "It's a Mad World," are we not in that mad world right now?
Oh, God.
It's a mad, mad world, you know? And everybody's mad. I mean, not only just mad as in crazy, but everybody's mad. Their temperament, everything, everybody's on such short fuses.
Oh, yes.
That's where Loki has come in. He has put us on that short fuse, you know? And that's what the devil wants. He wants us to be on a short fuse.
Over the edge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's exactly it. The devil wants us over the edge. Because when the devil wants us over the edge, okay, then he has full power. You know, he put the gears in shift, in high gear.
That's when the real corruption can begin, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's when they can really change the narrative, because no one else knows that you were provoked until that point of exploding.
Right.
No one else knows that part of the narrative.
Right.
All they know is, hey, you know, one day this person just flipped out and I think they've gone crazy. Well, let me tell you something. In the words of Dave Chappelle, all of these people aren't going crazy. Maybe it's their environment and the people around them.
Yeah.
You see, if
a group of people all agree.
If a group of people all agree to harm and target one individual for payout or to steal from them, let's not underestimate how low they would be willing to go to create illusions and total false narratives take what they want. This is where I feel the good officials often drop the ball and fail to examine the full scope and motive for the madness. How much money? This is what they need to ask.
How much money does it take?
Mm-hmm. would be needed to mm-hmm. take an entire
life?
Community
mm.
to take their life, to gang stalk, harass,
mm-hmm.
vandalize, invade
mm-hmm.
their privacy.
Mm-hmm. What's your price?
What are we talking?
You know?
What's the price? $100K?
Well, that's what the devil does, Jewel. The devil says, what's your price? Name your price.
Exactly. And he sends Loki in, because Loki, the Loki spirit, has to be the one to whisper, spread false rumors as to why we should target this individual, right? They're never going to come right out and say, we're really just targeting this individual to steal from them. No, the Loki spirit has to create a total false
narrative. Amen. They got
to
be convinced. What did it for me? Type of thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise, people this day and time, they're all thinking, what's in it for me? It's me, me. When we got 2020 came along, we forgot about them and those. It was me. What's in it for me? I should be focused on me. It's a me environment. That's where we are right now. The Good Samaritans, there is hardly any Good Samaritans anymore. Everybody is so concerned with the me factor. And it's all about me. And then the me has to do with, well, if I'm thinking me, reference this to time. You know, is it worth my time? And then just how much time are you willing to give on this, right? How much, you know, with the price that you pay, is it a price of time out of your life? Get what I'm getting at? And so that's what it is. A price with the devil can be monetary, but it can also be intellectually. But it also can be, you know, you're going to separate yourself. You know, I demand this of you. So this particular time, I demand this of you. Okay, and then other times you can do your thing, but the all ultimate thing is me, and that's where we are right now, and people don't have any patience. There's no understanding.
They don't.
There's no empathy. There's no And I hate it. I mean, my God, how can we turn so fast?
Where is, Brother Thomas, where is the I am my sister's keeper?
Right.
I am my brother's keeper. You,
right.
This plot that you and Loki are working up, it's not gonna get past me,
right.
For one, because I won't sign up to partake.
Right.
In criminal
you take
conduct.
A stand. You see, those that take a stand and say no, you know,
yes.
Then they're steadfast. But now, yes, they are attacked because they are standing up for their principles. And it's like, can I reference me, Joe, for a minute?
Uh-huh. Yes.
All right.
Yes, absolutely.
With me, people, with this atrocity that I have been dealt, with my health and my wealth and the loss of family support, I could easily shake my fist at God. I could easily listen to the devil and say, you see, just like with Job, he tested him. And Job, he won. He won out the period of time because he didn't allow himself to be influenced by the fact of his health, of losing his health. And he did not let the loss of his wealth. He kept saying to God, he said, God, I know there's got to be a reason here why you're doing these things. And I'll accept it. And that's ultimately why he lost his family, because his family kept saying, look what you've allowed happen. This God that you believe in, this God that you trust, this God that you have your faith in, what's he done to you? What's he allowed to happen? You've lost your health. You've lost your wealth. We can't see that we have any reason to be with you any longer. And so they walked away from him. And then you're all alone with God, and that's the best place to be. And so that's where I am today, people. I've been stripped naked of my worldly possessions. I've been laid bare for anyone to attack me. But I will not sacrifice my faith in God. I mean, I could die tomorrow. I mean, the devil could burst down my door right now and say, I'm taking your life. And I'd say, go for it. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Because I know I have God in my heart. So even though I lose my life, I won't lose my spirit. And that's where God wants us to be. We've got to be in the spirit. We've got to shake off the Loki spirit. We've got to realize the deceptor, the Decepticon that's in him. And we've got to be realizing that God is a God of love, and he's not a deceptor, and he is not an evil God like some people paint him to be evil. How can he let the children of this world die? Is he not an evil God? Is he not basically letting these children be captured and tortured and all these things? Why could a God of love do that? And that's the main question that I too believe that the devil allows people to think. See there, he plants the seed in your mind. You know, see, your God is not such a loving God. How could he let this young child be abused and tortured? You know? But we've got to realize.
The better question that people should ask, and they don't, is how can you?
Right.
Because there was a time that you could have intervened and done something, but
there was
something in it for you when you turned a blind eye. You allowed them to torture a child.
That's the truth.
Them to torture an innocent person.
And
don't then turn to God and ask, how can God allow it?
Or blame God for it. See, that's what God gives us. He gives us free will. So, hello, you had the free will. You had the will to do these things. You had the right
and will to refuse it.
And we didn't. So many times, we didn't. We didn't refuse. We took on our will. We said, no, God, it's going to be my will. And where does that get you? When you step out into this world and you say, it's my will, I will do it my way. There's the me, 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 me syndrome again. Mine. What's mine? Yours. It's mine. We've got that mentality. I want what's mine, you know? And because, that's where monkey comes in.
Thomas, you know what I was going to say? One thing about people is that when no one's looking, that's when you see someone's true character.
Amen.
It's not what they, it's not the show that they put on before you and the whole Sunday dress up attire.
They wrap their holy robes around them.
Weekly ritual. That doesn't mean anything.
No.
It doesn't mean anything. It's, at least to me, I'm not impressed. I've gone to Catholic school all my life. I know how to do religious rituals. That means nothing to me. What means something to me is true character. Who are you when no one is?
What do you stand for?
What do you stand for? Right? How much money would you take under table?
Amen.
To keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
What is your price?
And you know, this day and time, Jewel, I think.
That's what I'm getting at.
That's what I'm referring to. That's what I'm referencing here. It don't take much for them to sway. There ain't much of a price. They're pretty low. Their price is pretty low for what they do. For what they do when they get up there and they're voted into office. You know, they went there because people voted them in. Said, I got your back. I'll take care of you. And when they get there. Up there into the government, and they sit behind that cushy desk, and they start realizing the power that they have, and you know, I think the devil gives them that power. They realize and forget about the people back home. They do. And then you've got the people that are the lobbyists who are knocking at the door. Hello, you X dollar if you do this way, if you vote this way, and is that what your constituents wanted you to do? No. No. So, and then when you get caught up into that, then you've got basically the devil saying, hey, I got an offer for you. You can't refuse. Don't you love that? I'm going to make you an offer. It's like the Godfather. I'm going to make you an offer that you cannot refuse. That is the key.
This is what we're seeing in a lot of our officials.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever the amount is, it can start RICO crimes in entire communities faster than an undercover officer to get on the job. You hear what I'm saying?
It starts with their training.
This is how ridiculous it has become. And it's like you can go to at least 10 to 20 law enforcement officials that will sit there and turn a blind eye to open criminal conduct.
Yeah. Well, you know why, Jewel? What I've understood in doing some of my research going down the rabbit hole, a lot of your police officers are what they call fraternal order police, FOP. And what that is, is I didn't realize it, but our a fraternal order. And I hope a lot of people know that. And so they show their allegiance toward the law. But realize the law is how they twist it and turn it.
It's conflict of it.
Yeah, it is. But when they're in that fraternal order, just like if y'all ever went through, and a lot of them, I'm sure you went through fraternities and sororities, and basically that's what it is. You know, you had, you know, pledging, and you had, if you wanted to get higher up in that fraternity, you would do certain things, you know, to get recognized.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we are today. I think that people are our officials. They want to climb that ladder of success, and they'll do anything. But what's the price for their success, Jewel? What's the price for them to keep in power, to keep their, you know, to remain, they feeling solid? What price do they pay? Souls.
Well, they think it's monetary, but they're losing souls.
Amen.
If I had to speak frank. Because here's the thing. when someone comes to you at the lower spectrum and say, hey, if you can do this favor for me, I'll give you $20,000, right?
Yeah.
You have no idea that 10 levels up, that person's a pedophile.
Yeah.
You're covering and partaking in pedophilia, right? But you would rather close your eyes to the crime because it's what, $20,000 in your pocket, right?
So it's easy money.
Never come to your back door.
Right, it's easy money. I don't have
I don't have to deposit it.
Or
better yet, maybe we're surpassed pedophilia. That person's trafficking. Outright trafficking.
Yeah, organs. Selling organs.
Take your little kids out of the stores, bringing them underground, and you don't hear or see from them ever again. But you've got $20,000 in your pocket to keep your house again.
Well, Jill, there's so much involved with Big Pharma. Oh, my God. I didn't realize this either, going down the rabbit hole again. So Big Pharma people, they like to get with Planned Parenthood. And I didn't realize this, but Planned Parenthood, they sell not only organs, but they sell fetal tissue. And they use that tissue, human tissue, to manufacture their. That's sick.
Can you repeat that, Brother Thomas? You went out.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You can't hear me?
No, okay. It was like a glitch. So just repeat that one more time.
No, the Planned Parenthood, not only do they deal with harvesting of organs, and they do that, but they harvest fetal tissue because that fetal tissue basically, they say, well, when does life happen? When does it start? At conception, the spark. So in other words, that fetal tissue, that's the spark that Big Pharma needs to start off their virus or to start off their deception with the medications. So they will look and seek out that fetal tissue for that purpose. Oh. And that is just unbelievable that this spark of life that God puts into us,
it is.
They want to steal it. They want to
and
steal
I'm
it.
Gonna, I'm just going to give you guys a little nugget to take with you, those of you women who are of childbearing age. If you can opt to take your cord that connects
the umbilical cord?
Your umbilical cord. Yes. Yeah. Opt to take your umbilical cord, please.
Because of all the stem cells. The stem cells that are in there. Oh my God.
Leave that behind. Ask for it, bring a cooler, bury it in your own backyard.
Let it go back to the earth. Let it go back to Mother Earth. Yes. Yeah.
I just want to give you some advice there, a little nugget to take from that topic Brother Thomas had brought up.
What we figured out, Jewel, that basically stem cell research is doing nothing but manipulating our DNA. And people don't realize that. Now, sometimes the stem cell research is like they're saying, well, that's a cure for cancer. If it is a price you pay for that stem cell research, where do those stem cells come from? So if God wanted you to be healed, don't you think you way or could be healed a different way if you had faith? You know, there have been many people who said that they had cancer and they got with God and they pray to God and they change their diet or whatever, and that cured them of the cancer.
Yes.
But not taking a life, not taking the stem cells from an infant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're exactly right. I forgot about the umbilical cord. That has the stem cells in there. That was the life force. That's the, you know.
Yeah.
Umbilical cord was the life force.
They think of it as
a body part that needs to be thrown away.
Yeah.
What you need to know, people, it wasn't. They kept it.
And you need to ask for your umbilical cord because
I think also probably the uterus. I mean, whenever you shed that, because that's that encasement that was special. You protected that child. by that encasement, you know?
That is true.
And you didn't let that child out into the world and see the world until the child was ready. Okay?
Yeah.
And
see, these were things that the doulas used to help us with back in the day, right?
Yeah.
And kind of keep us spiritually healthy. Because
yeah.
when people get access to these things, it can affect you.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So, you know, both Thomas and I try to pass on this knowledge, especially to the young people that are coming up having children. They don't know any better. They just go to the hospital, have the baby. The baby's thrown in their lap, and they're wheeled out of there. They don't know about all the stuff that's happening in the back
no.
end and the mass deception that's happening
and
the spirit of low-key that's operating in these doctors that's trying to force them to get them all
they
kinds
set them
of
up with their indoctrination at the very beginning. I mean,
yeah.
you realize, Jewel, you know, when you said, well, now the baby needs to be brought in for, you know, the checkup and then we need to start and all that shit. No, we did not. And that's a deception.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when we allowed that foreign substance into that young body, we were setting that child up for a horrible path. And,
yeah, we have to slow down and think about this and say, wait
yeah.
a minute. There were generations.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Again, well, it had to do with time. And we were talking about time. So, you know, moms,
yeah.
when they went, young mothers, when they came, they said, you know, I don't have time for this breastfeeding. You know, I don't have time
yeah.
for it. And so they said, well, we've got something for you. We've got a formula.
Yeah.
And that formula would give them all the nutrients that they ever need. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And then when
yeah.
they don't do that breastfeeding, well, that colostrum.
Yeah.
That's God's medication.
Yes. That colostrum is very, very important for the baby.
Yeah. And so many people say, I don't have time for that. So then they let their breasts dry up and they just, you know, rely on I can't even think of all the different kinds bottled milk, I mean, canned milk that they have now.
Yeah, it's Enfamil, Similac.
Yeah, all that crap. And it's all some people, it has so many chemicals in that milk. It has so many unnatural things in that milk. It has so many things that are harmful in that milk. Why do you think that your children come up and they have asthma? Why do you think your children come up and they have learning disabilities? It is because of what they got inoculated with. Plain
yeah.
and simple. Because everybody, I do believe this, too.
Well,
I do believe this, except for those that are basically, and I bless the children, I bless the parents that do have the children that they know are going to come into this world that are not going to be, you know, they have the deformities or whatever, but they still love them. And I can't think of what the
yeah.
name of those children, you know what I'm talking about, the children, where they all
yeah.
kind of look like
yeah.
they're Chinese in a way. They do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they all look the
I
same.
Know.
You could. What are they called? What are they called? What are those children called?
I can't think of the proper
they all have squinted eyes. They all look alike.
I know. I know what
they
you're
all,
talking about.
They all look alike because they're special children. They
Yes.
But they could be easily thrown to the side, and that's where I think that when you go and you get the sonogram.
Yeah.
And so the doctor can tell you right then and there, well, this one's going to have problems. We already know it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've run the test. You know, they've run the test on the fluid.
That's another thing, Brother Thomas. There's too many sonograms. It's excessive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
intrusive.
But it's excessive.
Yeah.
You know, they want you to go back. Especially if you have a child after a certain age and they call you high risk, they
yeah.
make the child high risk by the amount of exposure that
yes.
they now want to give them with all of those
exactly
those visits.
And they put them through, well, that sonogram, they say it's not harming anything, but wait a minute. I mean, you're putting some kind of frequency into that because you're reading.
Exactly.
It lets you see a picture, okay? You're seeing a picture. Yeah. So how are they doing that picture? Because it's an external, operation. It's an external, instrument that they use, and they use gel, and they can actually see through the skin, and they can see through the body, and they can see, is it developing properly?
Yes, and that's a lot to see. For
how many times do you think that the deception has been that say, well, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but your child is underdeveloped, and so I think it would be better that you abort it now.
Do you realize
the deception in that? That they were told that the child was going to be born deformed. How do we know that? Because I don't think God wants us to open it up and say, hey, how you doing in there, Junior? No. You're held in your mother's womb. Okay? You're encased in your mother's womb. You're protected there. And if we allow these external instruments to look in and peer into that womb, you know, and say, well, ma'am, here's what we're seeing. And based on what don't you realize the picture is not a really clear picture? Is it not fuzzy?
It's not. And that's a lot of trust to put in man and not in God anyway.
Exactly. So is that fuzziness, Jewel? But is that fuzzy? Yeah. In other words, we're seeing, and they'll see us show you a screen, right? Unless you see that, or here you can see a vision of what your child looks like. And it's always this funny, kind of like they're in liquid type thing, and it's not clear movement. But they've interpreting what that movement is to discern whether that person, that baby inside you is developing correctly. So they're wanting to call it, you know, call the game before the game was even started.
I would even go as further to say that when you step out of the matrix and you see how many people can operate in a low-key spirit and how many people can be compromised, it's very difficult for me to take any person's word for anything.
Amen. Amen, because you do discern.
I don't care what title you have title.
It's your
submitted
internal,
yourself to a low-key spirit. What if someone paid you and say, I need you to convince her to abort that child?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who's to say that a doctor wouldn't do it for the right price is what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, and they do.
That these people are operating for your most high good. They're low-frequency individual.
Well, let me say this, Jewel, and we're talking about the vaccine, and I'm going to say vaccine and not jab. Vaccine, we were sold a story.
Uh-huh.
And the story was that it was deceptive, that this COVID was going to kill us. And it was not. 99.9% of the people survived it. Now, you had your special age group, my age and above, that were more harmful. It could be harmed them, and that's the ones we should have. You know, they said, okay, we're going to put them in a special place and we're going to watch over them and they'll be fine. The rest of us can go about living. But no, they decided that we all needed to get behind the mask. And that we all had to take the shot. And then we come to find out that that was all a lie and it was all deception. And the reason why is because they had to get the fear into us. See, the fear is planted by the devil. And so you realize, Jewel, and the thing of it is this, Jewel, these doctors who went and encouraged people to go get the shot, that they got a bonus for every person to get the test
done.
Oh, my God. That's their payment.
Yeah, and people
and these people died.
People took them at their word, and they were compromised.
Yeah. That's why
there
I
was
am
something
where I am.
In it for
if
them.
People don't know
they
this
were
already,
bribed.
If you don't know it about me, I mean, I was forced into it. because my wife and my daughter believed it, believed the lie, believed the story. And they said, the best thing you can do is go take the shot. I said, I don't want to. People, it was determined, and it's just come out lately, that it takes at least 5 years to run all the full tests on the vaccine. Did we have that? No. We had like 6 months, if that. And they already had it planned. They already had it in the works years ago. All they had to do was have the play, have the pandemic to come across. And that's from Bill Gates saying, all you need is a pandemic. A worldwide thought that everybody's going to die.
You know what, Professor Thomas, it's almost hard to believe that not too long ago, people were fighting over 6 feet, fighting over a mask, fighting over little cards to get into restaurants. And
oh, my God.
Poof, disappeared.
Yeah, overnight. It disappeared overnight. But what it did,
a figment of our imagination. Who knows who got the vaccine? Who doesn't? Doesn't matter.
The haves and have nots.
It's now a story of the past.
Yeah, but now they're bringing it back, Jewel, and I want these people to take a stand. Don't allow it.
But the question is, what have you learned?
Right. Did we learn? Did we learn from this experience? Did we learn from
being
shut down?
What have you learned about Loki? What have you learned about the spirit of Loki?
Yeah.
And if you're tested again,
right.
will you submit in fear?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because that's the frequency that they operate on. Fear.
Yeah. And that's what they're doing now. Oh, my God. I don't know if you're paying attention to it on the TV, people, but it's every day. They first said it's just started a little bit snow. Everybody's okay with it, and they're thinking, and no. Now it's spreading. Oh, my God, it's like the plague, and we've all got to get back to our mask, and we've all got to get back to taking the vaccines, and they've already got the vaccine out there, and they've already got this thing planned, and all this. In other words, what happened with COVID vaccine, it didn't do its job properly. It didn't do it, because there are people that survived. Hello, I'm one of them. I survived. And so they realized that they didn't do the full test. Well, they didn't do the full testing, you know. But we were the guinea pig. The ones that did take the vaccine, I'm a guinea pig. And so they got to see the test on me, and they said, damn it, he didn't die. And why? What did we do wrong? And so then they started looking at saying, well, how can we doctor this? How can we? And this mRNA, people, this graphene oxide that they now have seen to put it into our air through the chemtrails. Y'all know the chemtrails, what I'm talking about, in the sky. I mean, that is the release of these toxins into our air so that we breathe it now. So you don't even have to have the shot anymore. It's in your food. It's been in your food forever. In these products that we have, processed foods, we need to get back to natural foods. Don't go to any place. Go to a restaurant that has processed food. Because you don't know who processed it. You don't know what kind of chemicals they put into it. You know what I'm saying? But if you go and you go to nature and you say, hey, I see you out there, Mr. Deer. I'm going to shoot you with my gun and you're going to be, I'm processing you. I have control. And that's what God did. He gives us the control. He gives us those natural remedies. They're out there. We don't have to be relying on the big pharma. We never should have. Again, it all was dealing with time. We didn't have time to make up the poultice. We didn't have time to go out there into nature and pluck this and pluck that and boil this and steam that. No, we allowed chemicals to take growth. And so those chemicals, basically, that you go to the, and I know I'm stepping on people's toes, but when you go to the doctor and you go for that physical, and they automatically run a test on you, and they say, well, Mr. Jones, and well, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith, we see that there's something developing, and we think that you need to be on this regimen of these chemicals. You realize that regimen that they're putting you on is doing nothing but poisoning your system.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It is. Because see, they want you coming back. You know, pharma can't stay in existence if they don't have a need. So they create the need. And your doctors go and I mean, if you go and sit at your doctor's office and they listen to you, how do they come up with a subscription? A prescription? They prescribe based on your symptoms. Your symptoms. So, in other words, they go and look in their little book of knowledge, which is usually their computer, and they say, well, I think you need this, and well, I think you need that. It's all based on Big Pharma. Big Pharma determines your life. Are we supposed to let that happen? No, we're not. Mm-mm. But you see, we don't have time. So we give our time to our doctors, and we say, Doc, what's wrong with me? And he says, well, I look in my crystal ball here, and I think it's this. And I look in my crystal ball, and I think it's that. And they're basically, you know, they're getting paid for it. All the prescriptions that they write, they're getting paid for. Paid for by Big Pharma. They get money by whatever prescriptions that they prescribe. And we go to our pharmacy, and we pay the outlandish prices, and y'all know what I'm talking about. And who profits from that? You know, the pharmacies. They're an extension of Big Pharma, people. And they're all chemically based. And I'll just say this. From now on, when you go and the doc says you're supposed to get this prescription, say, wait a minute, hold on. I need to find out about this. I want to know what the pros and cons are first before I put that in my body. And they'll quickly change their tune. They say, well, you know, it might say this and it might say that. It's just like, Jewel, I'm going to say too, remember Ozempic? You know, they tell me to take Ozempic. Yeah. And a lot of your Hollywood a lot of your Hollywood stars are taking Ozempic because they think it's a quick, easy way to lose weight. But y'all realize what Ozempic originally said on its boxes? Will cause thyroid cancer. Why would we inject a substance into our body that could possibly cause us thyroid cancer?
Because of the Loki spirit.
Exactly. But again, we trusted in our doctors. Mm-hmm. We trusted in that pharmacist that's behind the counter, right? When he's, you go to the counseling booth, right? Right there, the little window, and he says, hey, you have any questions? And, you know, you ask questions, they say, okay, and they try to give you some kind of hyped up reason why this is going to be great for you. When do they really know? Do they really know?
No.
Do they know what it's going to do to you individually? Can they tell you for sure this is going to happen to you? Because everybody's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's their composition, their physical composition is different. You know? And so they can't say that they think maybe. Take a maybe. So in other words, when you go and you open up that cap off your bottle, are you saying, I'm going to take this because maybe it will do something for me? No. You take that capsule because they said this will help you. This will solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Where's God in that? Where's God in that? He's nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
He's nowhere. And I know I get off on a tangent there, but it's the truth. I mean, we need to get back to God.
You're absolutely right. And Brother Thomas, I hate to cut you off, but there's one major human experimentation that's happening today that I want to cover.
Sure.
Very, very important. And I waited for the right time, the right moment, and I believe that today's the day.
Okay, go for it.
And what I want to talk about with our supporters is the use of targeted energy weapons. And these targeted energy weapons are somehow obtained by former military or former CIA affiliated with cults. They're using these targeted weapons, also known as DEW, directed energy weapon. You guys could look it up yourselves if you want to. And
DEW, yes, the DEW. Yeah, we're DEW that.
Yes.
We're DEW this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What it is it's a highly focused energy, almost you know, with like it's microwaving.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most of these directed weapons are still at an experimental stage.
Yeah.
So who do you think they are secretly experimenting on?
Us.
You got it. A selected few innocent targeted individuals.
Which is me.
This is not science fiction, ladies and gentlemen. Right here in the United States, they
Amen.
Don't ask your permission. You can experience a kind of numbing sensation in your body, in your hands, and
yes.
excessive heat often
yeah.
whenever you can stand or sit still long enough where
yeah.
it can be pointed towards you for a significant period of time.
Yeah.
Well, my dear, guess what? You are, in fact, being microwaved.
Yeah,
and
through your phone,
likely,
Jill. And I'll tell you where it's coming from a lot of
wait,
times. People,
wait, I'm not even done. And I'll let you go into the whole phone 5G bit because I think that's where you're going to go. It's very likely that your loved one or someone very close to you either was in an occult, yes, with an affiliated military member, and boom, they simply got your name placed on a list in exchange for a human
yeah.
experimental payout,
yeah.
whereby you are tortured and they get compensated for it.
Amen.
Oh yes, we're lifting the veil today, guys, my darlings. Somehow a cult, former military or CIA individuals have somehow gained clearance to
yeah.
attack certain innocent civilians.
Yeah.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, and it doesn't stop there. Because I know some of you may be jawed and like, what? Who do we speak to about this? That's not plausible. Oh, not only is it plausible, but children are not off limits. Please
no.
understand that this is
no.
supposed to affect targeted individuals over time, and children are not, I repeat, are not off limits.
No.
Okay? What this can do over time is affect neurological development, heart
yeah.
and brain damage in adults,
yeah.
uncontrolled bladder, numbing body parts as
yeah.
if they have ice burns.
Yeah.
Your children could experience the feeling of ice burn because they are being targeted by
mm-hmm.
these weapons, ladies and
mm-hmm.
gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These little children who are just developing. This is far past being a war crime. What is
no, right.
Thomas?
Oh, it's murder. It's murder. You're murdering a
what
spirit.
What do you think,
You're
Brother
murdering
Thomas,
a spirit.
Would be the recourse for anyone who has committed such crimes or has taken payout for
you
such
talk about,
crimes
you talk about when it,
an innocent person or child?
Or children, or like a child or
yes.
even a young adult when they've been
yes.
raped or sodomized.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when the person's caught, they should be castrated.
Mm.
I do. Because I think they can't be allowed to be in society. And if we allow them to be in society, they need to be
yeah.
physically castrated, and they need to be targeted, and they need to be realized that they can't live in this world. It would be better that they kill themselves. It'll be better that they die.
That's deep. Because that's the feeling that they wanted to invoke on
yeah.
a child or on another innocent
a helpless
individual.
Child.
Is that feeling of suicidal thoughts, helplessness, fear.
Yeah.
What if that is now imposed on you and we just zap you whenever
right.
we feel like it?
All right. So I've got something to say about that, Jill. I found out something today, just today. It
uh-huh.
has to do with 15-minute cities. Everybody heard about the 15-minute cities and what the new focus is going to be
yes.
for the one-world government? It's 15-minute cities. Well, let
mm-hmm.
me tell you what they're going to do with 15-minute cities. It's going to be like a red light that they put onto poles in the 15-minute cities, and that basically they monitor you. In other words, when you go to do that digital ID, they have you. They can track you. They know exactly from moment to moment whatever you spend. So in other words, when you go and you've got that, and it's a red light, it's actually an X-ray. It's actually a micro, it's a beam of light, and basically it emits this frequency, and it can read you. And basically what it does, it knows when you basically are here in your car, and you may have gone against the rules, and you bought the wrong things. It will decide that right then and there and cut the car off. Cut it off.
Wow.
And then what it does, it will also put this beam out there to cause you cardiac arrest. Cardiac arrest.
Oh, my God.
So that when you are deemed guilty, they're now judge and jury. In other words, when you go to these 15-minute cities, we don't exist anymore, people. We are the drones. We are nothing but a number. You cease to exist. And when you go and you step out of line, like George Orwell's 1984, it's exactly what it's going to. We're going to go to this. AI is going to be in control. And AI doesn't have a human aspect. You're not going to be human anymore. You are humanoid, you know? And because you took on the vaccines, okay? And that's already... The metal, the nanobots are there. And so they're cultivating those. And so when you go step out of line, then when they send that and they zap you type of thing, you're going to feel it.
Uh-huh.
They're going to either set up in a time frame, like a time bomb's inside you, a ticking time bomb. And it's going to basically say, okay, you did this. Your time's coming. I'm going to end your life right here, right now. Because they can. They can. And so that's what I'm getting at. We can't allow these things to happen, people.
No.
15-minute cities were basically forced on us thinking it's a village of convenience. What convenience? What convenience? So you got 15 minutes to go to the hairdresser and 15 minutes to go to, you know, the grocery store and 15 minutes to go here. That's your life. There will not be people, there'll be no travel. You realize this. When you take up residence in those 15-minute cities, you're done for. And they can kill you at any time. They control your life. Are we ready for that? Are you ready
for that? You know, Brother Thomas, I don't think a lot of people are even ready for the crimes of today. Never mind for understanding where we're going if we allow these low-key spirits to run amok. Today, current day, Thomas gave you a vision of where we're going with this by allowing low-key to continue to run. I'm going to tell you where we're at today. Here's where we are, guys. We have all these electronics in our homes that can be hacked. These smart TVs, these
phones.
What is it? These cameras in our homes. These phones, definitely.
Microwaves.
It can be mirrored. And I just want you to imagine on a larger scale, if by any chance you were targeted and your phone is hacked, right? That means they can jam your internet. They can cut off your phone where you
your life force. Your life force ends.
Of the criminals and the conduct that's happening. Same thing with your little cameras you got on the doors of your home. Those can be jammed with
the ring cameras.
Nothing is safe. Okay.
No. There's your nothing private. There's nothing private anymore, Jewel.
It can be turned off.
Right. There's no private.
Hidden cameras placed in your vents and or your smoke detectors.
Oh, yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jill, I saw a video, I kid you not, where it's I guess it's the cars that we have now, that even in the visor, the sun visor, that we flip down, you know, when the sun's in our eyes. Do you know that they have a tracking device inside them?
I'm not surprised. If they
can track us. You know, we're thinking that it's just they can track us through GPS. No, No. GPS is an outward thing, you know, that you know that you're being tracked, and you want to be tracked because you're trying to find a place to go, and you want to find this place, and so you turn on the GPS, you know. Well, when you turn on that GPS, you're opening yourself up to it. But realize this, those that don't have GPS are to the older type people. A sun visor, it has a detective device inside it, inside the panel. Because they show the guy and he's being quiet and he's blade, right? And he opens it up and you're saying, what are you doing? And he peels it off and he says, and he points to it and he says, see what's there? It's a tracking device inside the visor of your automobile. Oh my God.
These things are what these dark occults are aware of that you are not.
No.
And when you become the target for whatever reason, more than likely you probably inherited something or, you know, that type of life insurance. So they just are targeting you because they want to steal your business from you. They think you're an unsuspecting.
Or steal your life. They want your life.
Walkover. Oh, yeah, or sacrifice your life entirely and create a doppelganger or someone else that can imitate you to some degree. There's a lot of sickness, needless to say, all right, in these groups that I know both Thomas and I want to raise awareness to you guys so that when this comes to your door, before you panic and before you feel like you've been put into that glass globe and your whole world is being shaken up, you can reference this and remember that we told you that this is some of the tactics that they do and have access to do and is not being regulated.
Yeah.
Okay? So you have a reference point. And, you know, God is continuing to use both Brother Thomas and I to speak boldly and call down these spirits and share with you what's happening behind the scenes and the things these cowards are doing to steal and harm innocent people out of greed and selfishness and use a low-key spirit with other random people to instigate and lie to them to create false narratives, to join forces in attacking innocent people, ultimately for theft.
We know, Jill, I think one thing if I say about myself, and you said you've realized that of me today, you said there's a difference in me from yesterday.
Yes.
And it's the fact that I've been stripped of all my materialistic things, you know.
Yeah.
When you get down, people, the only thing that's important is God. Money's not going to buy you happiness. You may think so. You know, success is not going to buy you happiness. You may think so. Because it's deception. What did you do to get that success? You know? What payment did you take to get that money, right? What did you sacrifice to get that money? And and so when you're stripped of everything and it's just you and God sitting there and you say, God, you have control. You give him that control, then he's got what he wanted from you all along. He wanted you to admit that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that if we can get to that point, we're going to make it. Just like, I don't know if y'all know, but yesterday I got up and I went to go get my car, and my car was gone. And I come to find out that the financial institution that I had contracted with for the car decided after 64 days that they could come and take the car away from me with no notification. And so I don't have any wheels no more. I don't have my blue, my Jeep Compass. And some people would think that's the end of the world. Yesterday, I would have said so. I felt like it. I felt like just how much more can I endure? Don't ask that question, people.
I want to share something with the audience very briefly about you, Brother Thomas. And you know, I have been able to observe our dear friend, Brother Thomas, of this podcast, become not just a targeted individual, but experience elder abuse in so many facets, both personally and with
financially,
different aids that should be allotted to him has been blocked.
Yeah.
And by aids, what I mean is social services.
Yeah.
That should be entitled to all of us who worked a significant amount of time during our life. We should be entitled to these things when we get.
Well, Jew, we were told, we were promised a false promise. You realize this, people.
And
Social Security, it's no security. You have no security. Social? We should have thought something about that when they came out with the word social. What does social mean? Huh? Social.
Yeah.
So remember what communism is all about, right? It has to do for all, you know, so we're all in this together type shit. And we all need to share the wealth type shit. Okay? I'm sorry, I said shit. But that's what we were promised, that, you know, when we pay these monies in from our hard-earned money, you know, that the end when we get to retirement age, that we will be taken care of. That is bull. You're not taken care of. You will not be taken care of by your government. They don't give a crap. They don't. All you are is a number. That's what your Social Security number is all about. You're a number. And your number is used. It opens up doors. It also closes doors. I've had that happen.
You know,
two or three times.
I don't mean to cut you off, Brother Thomas, but I wanted to say that, you know, when an individual is targeted, they're often, their financial stability is often stripped.
Yeah.
And if it's ever given back to you, 99% of the time, there's a setup behind it.
And you know what? That's the truth. Yeah,
there's a setup to try to get you locked up, incarcerated, or put somewhere else. But there's definitely a setup somewhere in it. So you have to be mindful of that when things turn around too swiftly.
Let me say what's going on here. Well, we were talking about young mothers, okay? So when a mom goes to the hospital, do y'all realize what the birth certificate is all about? Do you really realize what it's about? They give it to the mom.
Thomas, we could get into several topics. I mean, we're very...
Well, what I'm meaning by that is when you do the birth certificate, basically it's saying this. You're giving your child up to the government. To serve it to.
Yeah.
We didn't realize that. We thought it was an awareness of life. Bullshit. It's not. They have a that document, if you go and look at it, has a number on it. Has a code number. So they know you. You're issued that certificate. Okay. You thought it was a certificate. And it is. When you go to school, when you take the kids to school, what do you have to do? You have to bring your birth certificate, don't you? Because otherwise they can't prove you exist. Although they can see you, right? They can see a kid there. He does exist. I can see him. But he don't exist financially. He don't exist, you know, socially. Because I don't have him in my records. Records. So it's record keeping. School without that record of birth, right, Jewel?
Yes.
That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. The deception.
You're absolutely right. There's a lot more deception we can get into, and he's spot on with what he's saying. It's just that a lot of these things can be another whole
overwhelming
topic.
Yeah, and they can be overwhelming for people. We can feed too much to them. You know, you can overload.
Yeah.
I
do want to say this before we close, because, you know, as usual, although this is about time, somehow we managed to always go over time, which is very ironic with this
We tried to stay within the time constraints, didn't we?
Yes.
But it's God's time. So you know what? I'm going to leave it on God's time. It's God's time, not our time.
Amen. And I want to say just a few last words in closing about binding this low-key spirit, and that, you see, our Father, He sees the traps and the illusions that low-key and the vessels He operates in work under.
Yeah.
And what low-key didn't realize is that our Father also set a trap.
Mm-hmm.
And he allowed these individuals operating under low-key to dig into the very graveyards, literally, that they dug for someone else in preparation for their very own plot.
Yeah.
He allowed that same mischievous, lying tongue to now come back to Father pleading for truth and deliverance.
All right. Right.
He watched as they placed that poison in someone's drink and food.
Yeah.
And text others that the job was done. Only to ultimately see their very own minds, stomachs, and bodies rot.
Really?
He watched as they all chipped in on the hit, and as they sold personal items and brought them to practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen all the blood oath ties, the sacrifices on their hands. He watched as they defiled their mouths and bodies. He watched as they recruited community gangs and neighbors to harass and vandalize. He watched as they laughed and celebrated prematurely. He watched the identity theft and the family doppelganger.
Yeah.
He watched all the bribes given to people in high places.
Yeah.
He watched all of the privacy invasion. The hacking, screen mirroring, tapping of cameras, phones, TVs, and smoke detectors.
Yeah.
He watched all of their predatory behaviors and sick pedophile fetishes.
Yeah.
And he watched you all break into homes, steal and pillage property that didn't belong to you.
Yeah.
And the message our Father has is time's up, low-key.
Yeah.
For you and all the vessels you have inhabited, the tables have officially turned.
You got to meet the maker.
And so with that said,
I got one more thing to add, Julie. So I think his name was Alexander Crowley, if the name doesn't ring a bell to you. But he's the one basically who was our priest, high priest of satanic worship. And so they said in his dying day, he basically was meeting his maker. And he screamed out, he said, "Oh my God, what have I done?" Because when he was then ending his life, he was entering hell. And he had no idea of what he was signed up for.
Being
this high priest. Yeah, this high priest. He didn't know. I didn't know until the very end. And then he saw it. He was like trying to just say, "Help me." You know, I didn't know.
Yes.
And then he says, and that's why he screamed out, "What have I done?" And so this is what's going to happen to these people. They're going to have to meet their maker. We all have to come to judgment. And Amen. Your judgment day is coming. So where are you going to judgment? Are you going to be on the right side or the left side? Are you going to be on God's side or the devil's side? It's been
are
your
you
choice all along.
Or cold.
Amen.
Amen.
And definitely can't be lukewarm. Can't be
there
lukewarm.
There you go. Because
can't be Loki
is warm and his time is up.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
You know, that was a great ad. Also, Brother Thomas, there was a recent death of another high satanic priest, I think about a week or two ago, that hit the news. So you just brought that to mind. But, yeah, I saw an article about that, and he, too,
he screamed out.
He screamed out. He also made certain promises to the devil, well, whatever he worshipped, that came back for his daughter, and that was a whole other issue. But the daughter got saved by a pastor. By
yes.
The grace of
now you
God.
Sent that to me. Yes, yes, yes. You sent that to me exactly.
Yeah.
That basically he died. It's the same one. It's Crowley. It's Crowley. And this girl that you sent me to, she
no,
knows.
This one wasn't. This
oh,
one wasn't
Crowley?
Crowley. This is recent. This is very recent. Crowley
okay.
was a while back.
Okay. Well, they all rise to the occasion, don't they? They all want to get
yes.
to that top satanic level. And when they do, see, that's the other deception that the devil has given to them, you know, saying, you know, you do this and you step on this person's toes and you sacrifice this person and you'll get higher and higher and higher. But then in the end, they realize that they were deceived. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happened with this girl's father, you know, who was a high priest. You know, and he's saying, what have I done? That, you know, I was so involved in this girl's life that I wanted to take her life. I wanted to keep her under my thumb, under my rule, and I should have let her go. I should not have allowed myself to sacrifice her youth. And now she's an adult and she's come out of it and she has a family now, and it's amazing, you know, that these people took her in under their wing and helped her to see the difference, to discern the difference between good and evil, because all she saw was evil. She never saw any good, but she had a yearning for good. And that's what, you know, her father realized, that he was losing grip. And when she was able to escape, and she did, she escaped, there was no going back. There was no turning back. I mean, all the other minions that worked with him tried to, you know, get her back into the fold. Because that's what he needed. He needed to have her. That was basically what the devil said. Your price that I require of you is your daughter.
Yes.
He couldn't
yes.
do it. He couldn't bring it. He couldn't
and,
make it happen.
This is what I'm talking about, Brother Thomas, when I say that these individual family members get themselves involved in these things.
Yeah.
And ultimately, those of us that are unsuspecting are somehow tied into the promises and the allegiances and all of that stuff they've made to sacrifice innocent people. And so we have to claim our authority in the Most High God and separate ourselves, because that's not our destiny. I don't know who that is, but that's not ours.
Turn into God.
I want to close with one quick scripture verse and a prayer. So the verse is Ephesians 5:11, and the Bible says, "Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a sad day when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see." And that
the things
means,
of this world.
Yes, if you're not self-mastering, you are descending. Because anything not growing is what, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, dying.
Dead.
So you
it's not growing, it's dead.
That's right. That's right. So I want to close with this quick prayer from Pastor Jack Graham. Very quick, but it gets to the point. Dear Lord, when our life on earth is done, may we stand before you and hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Father, we know our time on earth is but a few words in this cosmic story. Help us to use our time wisely and leave our mark when our time is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you guys for listening, for supporting the podcast. And this was a very, very important message that needed to finally get out. And I appreciate you guys for coming along with both Thomas and myself
on
our most
journey.
Authentic spiritual journey.
Amen.
With you guys.
Do you have any comments that you want
to
say?
Possible.
Are there any comments?
I have not gotten any comments from the last one. I don't know if it was too soon, too quick for everyone to respond.
That's okay.
But you guys could definitely, start thinking about what you want to say for the last.
We feed on those people. I guess what we're trying to say here is we feed on that nourishment, that spiritual nourishment, and it encourages. Keep
yes.
on going.
The support is very encouraging. So definitely keep on sending in your commentary. I will definitely give you a shout out. You know I will. And we look forward to meeting again on our next podcast. So until then, take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.